Welcome. This podcast is an exploration into being human and what's possible when there's less attention on the noise in our heads. Warning. While listening to this broadcast, you may experience moments of deep peace, sighs of relief, personal insights, or long stretches of dead air. Do not be afraid. This is normal. Under the Noise with Wynne Morgan and Kate Roberts. Hi, I'm Wynne Morgan, and with me is...
I'm Kate Roberts.
So we had the idea today to talk about insecurity. And, well, completely confessing myself here, the reason that we had that idea is that I brought it up. And the reason that I brought it up is that it's a feeling and a thing that I'm very familiar with is the feeling of insecurity. And it's kind of been a lifelong companion. And frankly, an unwanted companion for the majority of that time. But I've seen something about the nature of insecurity that I think is worthwhile sharing. And I know how many other people could relate to it as well. So I don't know what you might say about insecurity, okay?
For me, it seems like insecurity shows up in different forms. Not just insecure thoughts about myself or what other people think, or you know, kind of like your typical when you think, oh, it's just insecurity. But even more recently, seeing things show up for me where I've really had to look at where I thought my deeper security lies. And it's not always what we think. Sometimes it takes things happening in our personal lives to realize that some negative feelings are because we think our security comes from certain things. And when they're threatened or taken away, it doesn't feel good. You have this sense of like wanting to control because of it. So my experience with insecurity is not just these kind of what typically people think of insecure thoughts, but like a deeper security and where we think that is. And sometimes we don't know. We don't know what we've decided is our security until it's threatened. And then you're like, oh, yeah, that's where I thought it was. What about you?
Well, what I really noticed a few years ago now, with help from one of my then mentors, that what was happening with my relationship with insecurity was the only thing really that was happening was I had an insecure thought. And because the feeling of insecurity was so familiar, I mistook the familiarity of the feeling for the truth in the feeling. Mm-hmm. I didn't see it as a frequent visitor, a habit. I saw it as real. And at some point in those conversations, with my mentor, it just became really apparent to me that I had made that decision up in my own head that the feeling was giving me truth as opposed to the feeling was telling me that I had an insecure thought. And an insecure thought is no different from any other thought that I might have. A thought about what I might do on Sunday. I thought about what if I'd have decided to go to a different restaurant 2 years ago for my birthday. What will happen tomorrow, right? and an insecure thought. There's nothing different in their true, in the nature of those thoughts. They just have different feelings with them. But the feeling doesn't tell us anything other than that's just what comes along with a thought. It doesn't make it more true, but I thought it did. I really thought, well, I've thought this so many times, it must be real. But I'm pretty sure I've thought about lots of things that aren't real in my 50 years since I was born, but it doesn't make them real. I've seen all the Harry Potter movies a couple of times, read some of the books, but it doesn't make Harry Potter real because I think of Harry Potter. But it's funny because the feeling is different with the insecure thought. It took me somewhere. I thought there was something to do with it because it looked true to me. I was listening to another coach and teacher about a year ago with a group of students, coaching students. I was helping out at the coaching school. And I'm going to paraphrase what he said in relation to what one of the student coaches asked. And what the teacher said was, paying attention to an insecure thought is the nutritional equivalent of eating mud. It has nasty stuff in it. There's no nutritional value, just the nastiness in it. And what was interesting is that a lot of the students misheard that as if insecurity is the nutritional equivalent of eating mud. It was listening to an insecure thought is the nutritional equivalent. So this is why, in my mind, that really matters as a distinction. Right now, I said earlier on that it was an unwelcome companion, my insecure thoughts. Well, right now, it's just a companion sometimes, but it doesn't have the same gravitas and the same, I don't know, hold over me as it would have done half a dozen years ago, 6 years ago. Because I don't have to listen to it and believe it's true, because I've seen the fact that it's no different from any other thought I might have about Sunday, a restaurant 2.5 years ago, or anything else that might just randomly crop up in my head. It's no different. And when I saw that, I noticed that I do not have to listen, and I do not have to have the psychological equivalent of eating mud. I thought that was a very cool and succinct way of saying it.
And for some people, if they were able to see that for themselves, not just hear about it, but actually able to see those things come up for them and realize that they're don't really have any meaning other than just the next thing showing up in our minds, then that could change everything for them.
Yeah. And it's funny what we can make up that looks like it takes us away from our okayness, our innate, born with okayness. That, going back to what you said a few minutes ago, Kate, was we sometimes don't even know that we think our security comes from these stuff out there. The relationship, the house, the bank balance, the car, the job, whatever it may well be, until those things are under threat, and then we just notice the feeling of them. And while it can be unsettling if they look like they're under threat, or indeed if they are truly under threat, but it doesn't mean anything about our okayness and our true internal security. It doesn't mean that.
I was recently reading a book, and it was talking about how the feelings that show up with our thoughts are the compass that are letting us know how close or how far away we are from our true nature. And our true nature always feels like love, like well-being. And so if you have a thought and it feels really good, then it's simply just a compass saying, hey, you're getting a little bit closer to who you really are. Like the, you know, how the coach talks about that we both know about warmer or colder, that child's game. But it's a lot like that. We're just getting a little bit warmer to our true nature. And when they feel really bad, like insecurity or anger, all of that, they're very normal. But we're getting colder. Yeah. I love that analogy.
And the thing that I love in that analogy as well is that that's true. And it doesn't look like it is. It looks like it's the opposite. Because we get a feeling that feels bad, an emotion that feels bad, especially about ourselves. And it is so compelling so much of the time. And it's telling us there's something truly up with us. But it's the compelling bad feeling to what you said is the compass that tells us that we are far off in our mind, in our own imagination of what looks real to us, but we are so far away from what's really true. And when we just get a glimpse of that, and I remember having a conversation with you last summer, and you and I were musing over, who are we before we think of ourselves? And then, you know, if I remember, that was pretty much a day and a half. Not just one question. And we were both looking there, and one way of summarizing and how I'd answer that question now, who am I before I think of myself, is what you're saying about the purity, the truth of who we are before we imagine anything else, which is an incredible miracle of nature that is animated from physical form into a conscious being for a certain period of time, that in no way we could be no more imperfect than a tree or the rings of Saturn or the Crab Nebula far away, millions of light years away. And it's funny that we, because of how amazing our human thinking is, we forget that. And then we take a ride on our own imagination that takes us into a pretty, sometimes dark place. It's a very dark construct, not a dark truth. And literally, going back to what you said, I think it really is potentially as simple as, if I'm feeling bad, I'm further away from my true nature. End of story. And that's nature's gift to us, that we have misinterpreted time and time and time and time again.
That's interesting too, because usually when we're caught up in a bad feeling, even if it's stress or pressure, is the only time when we feel like there's something we need to do.
Yeah.
Like when we feel great, you know, we're laughing and being with people are just content. There's nothing to do. There never really seems to be an urgency to do anything. But it's when we're caught up in something negative, for whatever reason, most of the time, I think we think there's something to do now, an urgency to fix it or act in some way, say something, have a conversation, because now is the perfect time to do it, when really it's telling us the exact opposite.
Mm. I I was talking with someone yesterday who I've known for a while. And we've had a few coaching sessions over the last probably 3 years. And she had something that happened in her professional life last year that she found quite difficult to deal with. And she even said yesterday to me that it's broken me. And I feel like I just can't do anything now at work. I can't make good decisions. I don't think I can lead the people I used to lead really well. I'm hiding it. Truth is, now I'm opening up to you, Wynn, for the first time about this, but I really think I'm broken. My job is to deconstruct that final sentence. I really think I'm broken. And to wait a minute. I know she's not. I know she can feel it. But what we feel doesn't mean it's true. I can feel scared. I can feel scared in watching a movie. There's nothing really happening. My blood pressure and my pulse rate might even rise. And I might grab onto the arm of a chair while I'm watching a scary bit of a movie or an intense piece of a TV show. But it doesn't mean anything. And even if I'm thinking of things in my own past that are upsetting to me, if the only thing I knew was and remembered was feelings come and go because they're a reflection of thought in the moment, I'm not living in my past because there's no such thing as the past. It's always now. And yet a memory can appear as if it's real from the past into the now. And feelings go on their own accord because they're a reflection of thought, and thoughts change of their own accord without me or you or anyone else doing anything about them. I can be free to feel anything. And to what you said a few minutes ago, not need to fix anything in how I feel. And for the person I spoke to yesterday, she's no more broken than she is an oatmeal person. She had oatmeal for breakfast. That doesn't define her. No more than a thought about feeling broken or a thought about what happened 6 months earlier has anything to do with our own true nature, our own who we are. Those two things aren't at all connected, other than the fact that we've got a brilliant imagination that make up the fact that we think they are. But they're not. It's just as you said, it's a signal to tell us that we've moved further away from our own true nature. Nothing else.
So for the people that are listening or watching the podcast that truly believe and feel like they're broken, what would you say to them?
Well, first of all, my heart goes out to anyone with that. So if that's you, my heart goes out to you right now listening to this. And I can relate. If you've heard anything that I shared in episode 3, I can really relate. But I don't know if there's anyone that wouldn't be able to relate to it. And yet, here's what I'd say. Have you ever had a belief that changed? Ever had a belief at any point in your life that you then realized wasn't real? And it won't take long for you to figure out that there are lots of them. Even if you're resisting that thought right now, saying, no, when it comes to me, I am this way. Well, you might think you are. I kind of know you're not. And that sentence is true apart from the word kind of. I know you're not. Beliefs in human beings are very compelling. But they're just thoughts that hung around for a while, and because we thought about them so many times and they started looking true, and because of us as human beings, we look for evidence to back up the hypothesis that we've innocently made up. We will look for examples to back up that hypothesis and turn a spurious thought into a belief, and a belief is likely to stick around until it's smashed through. And sometimes it's just, we just see through the disguise of them. Maybe on Christmas morning, who knows? And the disguise that sometimes we have as a human being is the disguise that we don't think we're perfect. As a human, it doesn't mean that we're not fallible. We're absolutely fallible. Certainly in our behaviors, but the who we are underneath of all of that stuff is the same. So get curious. Take it out of your own life and notice, well, how do beliefs get made? How do I make beliefs? And just notice that maybe we think of things that are just story. And what do you do with a story once you've seen its fiction? Nothing, because you've seen its fiction. What would you say to them, Kate?
I think the first thing I would probably say is, yeah, me too, sometimes. Yeah. But then I would probably talk about the nature of beliefs. I think, at least the way that it looks to me right now, is beliefs are, I like to call them frequent flyers, because they've been thought so many times that they don't look like thoughts. They really do look like who we are. And they're sneaky because they don't look temporary. They look real, very, and they feel very real. And they're always, you know, like frequent flyers are the go-tos on everything. So it doesn't matter what subject or where you are, is it work or home? They're like the ones we go to, the sneaky ones. When something happens and it doesn't feel good. But no matter how often we've had the same thought that looks so real, it doesn't actually make it any more solid than any other. Mm-hmm. So sometimes talking about the nature of beliefs or thoughts creates just a little bit of space. Just the small possibility that it's not true is sometimes all we really need. And I think we'll notice in that space that we feel just a little bit better, a little bit more like relief. And that's our compass. That we're looking in the direction of who we really are, our true nature. Mm-hmm. And our true nature is never broken. It never feels broken.
That was a beautiful summary. And if there's anything that's come up for you personally listening to us or watching the video, get in touch. And if you want us to go deeper into any specific areas, or even come on as a guest of the show with us, I'd love to explore with you. And in the meantime, happy exploring us to what's underneath the noise for you. Thank you.
Thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate, and review. If you have a topic or question that you'd like us to chat about, email Wynn or Kate at wynn@wynning.co.uk and kate@kateroberts.com. Until then, enjoy what's possible under the noise.